Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Our next guest today is the head of enterprise marketing at the tech company, but that's not the reason why you want to listen to this guy. He's somebody that I've known for a little while and has actually sat on sort of both sides of the sales and marketing table. Today, what we're going to talk about is how he helps his SDR, he empowers his SDR team to get super high response rates. Basically, he gives them a reason to reach out and gives the prospects a reason to respond to their campaigns. So I'd like to introduce everybody to Franco. And I should have asked how to pronounce your last name, but I'm going to take a shot. Caporale?
That's pretty good. Hi, Colin.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks for inviting me. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Perfect. We normally don't do the history, but seeing as you're the head of enterprise marketing on a podcast that's typically about sales, Can you give us just a quick brief history of your history with SDR teams and sort of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I'm the head of enterprise marketing here at Branch, where I've been for the past 6 months. And before, I have a long history of working with other venture funded companies in tech, helping them going from 1 million ARR to 20 million ARR. And I've been enjoying doing that for a while. And it's my strong belief that SDR team should be reporting under marketing, especially for the inbound side. And I know this is a very controversial thing, and I'm happy to speak in more details why I believe that. And so when I, in my past, I really pushed to have the SDR team reporting under me. And so I was able to really leverage both sides of the table, like you said. So really growing the demand generation funnel and the lead generation and all that aspect, as well as the qualification part and trying to grow the pipeline through the help of the SDR team.
Cool. Now, I'm a guy who has almost always disagreed with people that say SDR should roll up under marketing. And maybe I'm just gun shy because we've seen some bad examples of, the marketing emails that they're making SDRs send, this much text. And of course, HTML formatted and sent from Salesforce or Marketo. And it's like, I'm not getting a response. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the horror stories that you just mentioned there. I agree with you 100%. To be fairly honest, I consider myself as a salesperson borrowed by marketing, more than the opposite. So that's why I have a passion for enterprise sales. I enjoy the process, and I really believe that everything that I do in marketing starts from sales. So instead of starting from what campaign should I do tomorrow, I start from the end of the funnel and looking at what accounts we want, what kind of leads is the best profile, what kind of meetings are we looking for from a sales side, and then I kind of take all the other steps. And so, like, I completely agree there are episodes in which you see a very hardcore marketing person managing the SDR team who doesn't have a very clear understanding of enterprise sales, that's not going to succeed. It's not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a sales approach in marketing. And that's why my title is head of enterprise marketing, because I'm very, very aligned and connected to the sales team and to all the sales leadership. And that's what is working really well for us here at Branch.
Interesting thing to add for people that are skeptical, because I was also skeptical of marketing that, it should not roll up under, or SDR should not roll up under marketing. One of our last guests, maybe not the last guest, but the guest before last, Ryan O'Hara, you started to kind of open my eyes in the way that they look at their campaigns as almost micro marketing instead of just like a list-based campaign or an account-based campaign. How can we deliver a really awesome experience that's going to help somebody? And it's going to be fun to do in that. And so he's almost positioning his little group as like a micro-marketing agency within the big company, within the larger company. So that was a really interesting sort of way of reframing what the SDRs do.
Well, it's an interesting approach. In my experience, and I've been in four other tech companies in the past 5 years, and I saw all the different approaches to the SDR team. And I saw how, especially when you are in a growing company, how hard it is for the SDR team to get time from the sales leadership and be coached, especially if they don't have like an SDR manager, an SDR director, which is hard at the beginning when you're growing the team. Mm-hmm. And so there was this big disconnect in what they were doing, how they were managed. And so that's why I decided to take over that. And so I started managing the SDR team previously on a company like Duetto and then at Optimize. And then I saw the power of when you are able to connect marketing and then the SDR component, which is the bridge between marketing and sales, then you can see, like, you can literally double the conversion of your outbound outreach as well as any pipeline generation activities that you're doing.
Cool. So maybe let's go up a level, because I've had the chance to learn what head of enterprise marketing means to you, but could you explain to me, like, are you the only marketing person at Branch, or maybe are you the only marketing team? Like, who does the brand stuff? Who does the website? Who does all those things?
Yeah. So here at Branch, we have an interesting structure. So we have two marketing teams, and we're actually a pretty large team. So my team specifically is focused on enterprise sales. So enterprise opportunity driving, pipeline driving, NQL, the classic demand generation approach. And account-based marketing approach, while the other team, which we call it more the community and long-tail team, they're focused on growing our community side with the developers and the long-tail. They can use our platform for free because the brand's platform is free to use. And then we have some premium products that specifically are used by marketing professionals to drive more mobile app installs and to drive more user and to measure the attribution and the campaign success. So those products are the usual SaaS. They follow the usual SaaS model. And so that's where my team is involved. But so with these two teams, there is this collaboration because, you know, you have a community event that can impact enterprise opportunities. And then also my campaigns might impact the long tail. So there is definitely some overlap, but we are focused on two different, completely different metrics.
Gotcha. And so let's, can you walk me through your metrics and what your area of focus is?
Yeah. So what I believe in terms of when I look at a company and trying to grow a pipeline, you know, there is now this trend of ABM, account-based marketing. And for a couple of years now, I've heard lead generation is dead, demand generation is dead, and or inbound marketing is dead. And I do not believe that. I believe that account-based marketing is really powerful, but is even more powerful when you pair it with a strong funnel and a strong content marketing strategy, so you can scale that and become the thought leader and really get volume of leads into your funnel. But then at the same time, you are creating these targeted programs that are really able to engage with the accounts that are the best and that are exactly your target. And that's what really grow in terms of volume, but also in terms of average deal size of the pipeline. And to do that obviously requires multiple people within the team. So for example, in my team, I have a person who is 100% dedicated to account-based marketing programs, and she's my account-based marketing manager. And then we have a lead acquisition person who runs all the paid ads from on different channels. Then we have PR and all of the other roles that are necessary for to execute on these programs.
Gotcha. And then the SDRs, they sit on a separate team, sort of in between you and sales.
Yeah, so they sit in between us and sales. So the way that we're structured now with the SDR, there's a unique team covering both inbound and outbound. But for them, an opportunity that they are creating can be inbound or outbound, their compensation is the same. So they are not incentivized to basically give more preferences to one or the other. So actually when they get inbound leads from us, it's just all gravy for them because they don't have to, you know, grind the cold calling or the cold emailing. And so that makes us, it's very easy to become aligned once you have all aligned incentives. And so our role here is to make it easy for them to engage with the top accounts. And just to give you more background, so our sales team is divided in basically targeted accounts. Each rep has 50 accounts that they are prospecting and trying to close for the quarter. And so,
and that's an account executive?
Account executive, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, account executive. And then the SDR is basically paired with two account executives. And so each SDR is prospecting 100 accounts. And so what we're doing during the quarter, they are creating this very targeted cold email and trying to really do research and sending these emails that are very, very custom made, where we show the pain and we take screenshot of the app. And show how the experience is not optimal and how Branch can create a much more seamless user experience and really unify the user experience from mobile to web and vice versa. And so this really is the key to engage with these accounts, but sometimes it's not enough. So the cold email, even with this all of this work behind, which takes a lot of time to create, might not be enough. And so that's why my team is very focused on make it easy to engage with these accounts. And we have all of these initiatives that we launched since I joined that are really working well. For example, I mentioned to you one of the best initiative that we did last quarter were this basically thought leadership dinners, let's call it like this, where we invite some top prospects and customer for a chef-made dinner in a fancy place in different cities. We do in San Francisco, New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, Dallas, many, many cities. And basically, we have a discussion during this dinner. We structure it in a way that everyone can interact and provide inputs and insights on what they're doing, what kind of pain they have, what challenges. And usually, these dinners are attended by someone from my team and someone from the sales team. Mm-hmm. And some of the other executives, so that we can really interact in a very intimate fashion. And this has led to a really, really improvement in terms of like pipeline conversion, even for accounts that have been very, very hard to penetrate after many emails and cold calls and different initiatives that we were not going anywhere and just with an invite to this kind of dinners. We have a lot of success stories.
Very cool.
Yeah. So in particular, so the dinners were the top program that we did to in terms of last touch pipeline creation. And so this quarter we're doubling. So we did 5 dinners last quarter. We're doing 10 in Q3. So we're going to really go pretty heavy on this program as much as we can scale it.
Gotcha. So how does that work in with the SDRs and their outreach? Are they booking for the dinners? Are they trying to help you prioritize who should be in there? How does they walk us through that process?
Yeah. So we try to automate as much as possible. So we basically created a program in Salesforce, and then each SDR start inviting their prospect very actively. So every time they send the email, then they just add it to the program, that which creates all the automation flow for the emails with the invitation and all the details for the dinner. And so where the prospect can just add SVPs. And most of the RSVPs come from the SDR. So they are driving really the attendance to these dinners. And that's what is helping them reaching out to these accounts. We have a lot of examples where an SDR have sent probably like close to 8 or 10 emails, very customized, very thought through the whole time, and no response for many months. And then we sent a dinner invite with all the details and the chef and the restaurant that where we're doing the dinner, and they respond right away and they accept the invitation. And we're talking about large accounts, so this is a pretty good way, and it's a good weapon for the SDR to shift gear and not just go in with the usual templates for their outreach.
Mm. So it's more of a value add. Hey, you're a human, you're probably hungry. Would you like a pretty fancy meal on our dollar?
Not exactly like that. That's not how we position, even though obviously it's a good advantage, but is what we're pitching really is the people that are going to be at that dinner and people that joined the previous dinner. So we're really pushing on, like, you can network with all these senior people at similar companies to yours, and we're going to discuss about mobile challenges and mobile marketing or mobile product We do use different theme for each dinner so that we can really focus on a specific role. And so, yeah, the chef made meal is an advantage, but we're really, the message is really strong on the people that they can meet at that dinner.
Gotcha. So how do you seed that dinner? Is it started with, is it all prospects? Is it, you know, a bunch of, you know, branch and your counterparts talking, or is, what's the mix like?
Yeah. So usually they are pretty small dinners. So we have normally 20 people, of which like three are from branch and 17 are prospects / customers. Usually we have about two or three customers so that we can introduce them to prospect and they can share why they love branch and why they should also use branch. We got a few of those success stories for accounts that were a little resistant or they were finding a reason why they shouldn't start today. That really helped. But for the rest, yeah, we really facilitate the discussion among prospects, and we that's how the conversation starts. And then they're usually very keen on introducing other members from their team right away. And that's why the opportunity then develops. And these are people that have been on our database for a while. Maybe we send them white papers and other content, but this is a much stronger way to convert them into actual pipeline and opportunities.
Can you share a sense of what your conversion rate has been on inviting people to those dinners?
Yeah, so I would say like over 50% of them, of the prospect. So taking out the customers that are attended or some of the partners that we invite as well, of the prospect, over 50% of them convert into opportunities.
Wow.
So it's pretty strong because, you know, they meet our executive team, they meet our CEO in some cases, they spend a couple of hours with the rep. And so that usually triggers an introduction to other member of their team or a demo with multiple people, which is usually a good way to start engaging with the account.
Gotcha. So kind of diving into these, this in individual dinners, and I know you've got a couple other tactics to share. I'm just super curious.
Yeah.
Do you just get everybody together? You sit around a round table and just everybody just sort of talks randomly? Do you guys structure the events?
Yeah, so it's very structured in a way that we like to guide the conversation because if you just get them all in the same place, they're just going to talk to the people next to them. That's not very productive. So we basically ask a question right at the beginning. What's the main challenge that you're having today in your department, in your role? And we go all around the table. Each one says something. Then we ask other questions. Like after each course, basically we ask a question. So we like to pause and ask a question. We even ask questions like, you know, what is one mistake that almost got you fired?
Yeah.
That was an interesting one. People had fun with it and kind of led to a lot of other conversation. And then we ask like, what is one thing that you can share that you learned that was very effective for you so other people can learn? And that's what makes it very, very valuable for the attendees, this dinner. And it's all in a nice settings and with a chef prepared meal, which is a plus, obviously.
Gotcha. Man, that's a much better offer than the breakup emails I've been sending with the silly hippopotamus or your stomach.
Yeah, I tried that in the past too. And some of them worked, but obviously I found it to be stronger when you provide an additional value, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. So before we jump into the, because I was super curious to jump into the how you guys do the dinners. I want to make sure that we stick to keep this to, so it doesn't turn into a 4-hour episode. Maybe before we jump into the other tactics, can you just share what are some of the results that you've seen in terms of the increased productivity with the sales development team?
Yeah. So again, our goal is to give them an additional weapons to do their job. And so here, basically from after we started scaling these dinners, before we were doing just one or two per quarter. So we scaled to 5 in Q2 and we launched all these other initiatives, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. And so from between Q1 and Q2, the number of opportunities inbound that we generated multiplied by 3. So we have a 3x factor increase in opportunities creation from inbound. So any opportunity that were touched by a campaign. And so what we want to see, we want to continue seeing this growth month over month. And so I started here 6 months ago. My goal last quarter was to learn what could work and what does not work, what translates into pipeline and what does not. We use Visible to track attribution of our programs and what campaigns are driving first touch opportunities, what campaigns are driving last touch, touches in between. And so then we are able to understand where we should double down and really scale and what we should cut in terms of programs. And by doing that, by doing this constant optimization, we're seeing very, very good results.
Now, I know everybody's, so one, a 3x improvement or a 3x increase in opportunities generated.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have my SDR team. That's fine.
I can only take one at a time.
Okay, that's fair. You must be spending like tens of thousands of dollars on these dinners then.
Actually, no. The dinners is a very cost-effective program. It just takes a lot of work to align the SDR team and all our resources to plan and execute the location. But the actual budget invested is we have capped it at $2,500 per dinner. So if you do the math, it was about $12,000 that we spent last quarter. Mm-hmm. And the pipeline generated from dinner, I'm not going to be specific, but is in the seven figure ranges. So
just stop when I get to the right.
Exactly. So, I mean, again, it was the top program for a pipeline conversion for last touch. And so that's why we're scaling to 10 dinner this quarter, which is hard to execute. But there is a cap, obviously you cannot do a dinner every day or, you're just going to be in the meal business more than the tech business, but yeah. There is as much as you can scale it, but as much as we can, we will. And we're trying new cities. So this quarter we did Atlanta dinner last quarter for the first time. That was great because it's a more unserved market. So there are, like in San Francisco, there's a lot of companies doing a lot of different events, other cities much less. And so we see much more enthusiasm and there are very large accounts there that are really happy to join us. And that turned into very, very valuable conversation with all of them. So we're going to do even Toronto, we're going to do Chicago, we're going to do Boston this quarter, we're going to do Dallas. And so we're continuing growing the program.
Awesome, man. So moving on from dinners, because I'm sure that's not the only thing you've been working on. What are some of the other things that have helped your SDR, like that you've empowered your SDRs to help, you know, warm up the prospects?
Yeah, so going down the list of the most ROI positive initiative of last quarter, we have conferences. Conferences were great. So conferences that we sponsor, and we have a booth, and we have a speaking engagement. So what we do with the SDR, we look at when we have the list of attendees or list of speakers from those events, they proactively go and outreach to those events. Mm-hmm. And we try to set up meetings before we are on site. So that we have a few meetings already in place. And there was one particular event which was absolutely phenomenal. It's called MAU in Vegas, or Mobile Apps Unlocked, very big mobile events. What they do there, they have a networking app where you can basically reach out to any one of the other attendees that have the app and ask for a 15-minute meeting. And the app schedule the whole thing, look at the availability, and you have the meeting. So we arrived at that show with 21 meetings booked. And at the end, we ended up with over 30 meetings.
Wow.
Done on site with large companies. So that was a big event and big program for us last quarter. So we're looking for more events that organize this type of initiative that facilitate the networking. And again, the alignment with the SDR team is crucial because they are those working and grinding to schedule all of these meetings, and then we do the follow-up right after the event.
Gotcha. You said you booked 30, you had 30 meetings at the conference. 21 you booked ahead of time with your SDR team?
Yeah, the funny thing is 21 before we even got on site in Vegas, and then since the conference was 3 days, mm-hmm. we booked more meetings during those 2 days for the following days, and so we ended up with over 30 meetings actually done on site. So those were all not like just quick chat at the booth. We're talking about 15-minute meetings that were booked on the specific location that we sat down and really walk them through what we do and their challenges.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
It was really great.
So it starts with steak dinners, then pre-booking meetings at conferences. What was the next? What's next down?
So next down is webinars, which is another event. I mean, it's a digital event, and I'm a big fan of webinars. I think content is really crucial to obviously drive leads and drive engagement, but also position the company as a thought leader in the space. And so we spend a lot of time working on educational content. We did this last quarter, we did this webinar series, which was basically a mobile marketing course or an advanced mobile marketing course. And we call it From Web to App, From Web to Native App. And so we had these six webinars. We invited a very high-profile speaker, a professor from Stanford, a professor from NYU, Morgan Brown from Growth Hackers, other companies, and plus, you know, obviously people from Branch. And we put together this very educational content, and we had over 1,200 people registering for this series. And so this was great from, again, the thought leadership perspective, but from a pipeline creation and lead generation was absolutely phenomenal. We had big logos attending and senior people attending. So I was really happy. It's definitely something that we're going to repurpose again. And working with the SDR team to basically do the, every time someone will register, they will follow up with them, making sure they attended or saw the recording. And then they had a chance to basically follow up right after the webinar if they have any question. Anyone who asks questions during the webinar, the SDR will follow up with that line of question that they ask. So that was kind of the icebreaker, and they had a response for them. So they had to do that small work, but is a great way to actually reach out proactively to someone that is not called anymore. And so that's why it was so successful to then turn them, convert them into actual opportunities.
Cool. And were they doing any help in booking people for the webinars?
No, before the webinar, not much. I mean, they have a few that like usually they already engaged in a conversation, said, hey, we have this webinar if you want to attend, just to get them more engaged with us. But most of the time the promotion is on our side. So they just get delivered the list of registrants and attendees. So we divide it in three parts. You have the people that have asked questions. Those are the warmest and the people that you want to reach out right away, right after the webinar. And you have the people that attended but did not ask questions. And then you have the people that did not attend. They registered but did not attend. So you have three different outreach for these three buckets of people. And so you can, for the people that did not attend, you immediately start with the recording. Here's the link. I want to make sure you have it. And then, you know, you can do your pitch.
Gotcha. Very cool. So next on the list, so after webinars, what comes next?
Yeah, so another cool initiative that we just completed last quarter was the first experiment, but it's already showing to work really well. So we're going back to direct mails. And, you know, in the era of emails and chat and bots, we are actually trying to break the noise and send a very, very cool packages directly to selected prospects. So right today, not many people, you don't get many packages on your desk. You get a lot of emails though. So we want to try to invest in that. And so what we did, we spent probably around 2 months designing the package that, and the offer that we want to send. And we have a cool box, black box with our logo on the front, very well designed. When you open the box, there is a tray that has a one pager about Branch, which is divided by vertical. So we customize it based on the vertical of the company that we're targeting. Then we have basically an Amazon gift card, which is only fake Amazon gift card if you take a demo with us, $50 gift card, and then a chocolate bar that is from San Francisco. It's a gourmet chocolate bar that we selected, and so that's kind of the offer. Once what we do is, since only sending the package is not enough and it's not the most efficient way to do this program, we work with the SDR team very closely. So we worked on the list. It's a total of 300 packages that we sent out last week. And so we work on the list with them. They selected people that have never responded to them, that have been working in one of their accounts. We send two packages per company. And then as soon as the packages are shipped and they're shipped all together, the SDR have prepared a template where they say, hey, I put together this package for you. I hope you like it. I put a lot of work into that. There is a surprise inside, but I would really love to spend some time with you and in a phone call, but keep an eye for that package. And then as soon as we have notification of the package being delivered, they call and they say, I saw the package was delivered. Did you get it? And then we have a, basically a script for each answer. If it's no, I didn't get it, or yes, I have it in front of me. And the goal is, can I book you for the demo so you get your gift card, but also you can learn how brands can help you in your role, can help your company. And then we have a few other sequences coming after if they don't respond. And so what we saw with this initial experiment is like people really appreciating the gift, being very unique and very thought through the whole thing. And so they really appreciate the SDR putting the time on the package, because we make it look like the SDR put it together. And then a few people already replied, yes, please, let's get together. I'm going to involve other people from my team, and we really want to know what you guys can do for us. So they even didn't even mention the gift card per se, but they really appreciate the whole thing. It's a very different way. And so these were all accounts that the SDR are trying to engage with for the whole quarter.
Gotcha. And so 300 packages, what did that cost you?
So it's $30 a package.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so it's $9,000 campaign.
Right on. Yeah. And what were the results that it generated?
So again, this was an initial experiment. We are targeting at least 15 demo. We already have, I believe, 5 booked in 3 days. So the packages are not all delivered yet. So we only deliver less than 50% of this first batch. Yeah. So this is looking good for our numbers. And so we definitely want to scale this program. We're going to try other offers. You know, the chocolate was cool. We were a little worried about the chocolate in summer because it could melt, but we'll definitely try other offers. But we really want to invest in direct mails, because I'm very convinced the direct mail is coming back with all of the noise that is now on email and chat. And so this is a really powerful weapon for the SDR to completely change their template and go outside the box from the usual pitch and really engage them and showing how much targeted work they have been doing for those prospects.
That's fantastic. You said, just to clarify, you said in 3 days you've had 5 responses so far?
These were all like from the outreach of the SDR. So, well, we haven't got nobody just on their own filling out the page, because the link drives to a landing page where they should fill out a form. But since we want to make it easy for them, the SDR reached out to all of them with the template saying, hey, I saw the package was delivered. Do you want to set up a meeting? And they all said, these people say, yes, please, let's do it. Thank you for the package. So that was the great thing. And that's why I don't think without the SDR team, this program would be as effective, because you're leaving a lot of work on the shoulder of the recipient, while the SDR really makes it easy for them to just say, yes, let's do it next week.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to go and invest all this time and money in building these beautiful packages, mine hasn't shown up yet, by the way, but you may as well. Yeah, sure. You may as well get to coordinate with the SDR team, because it sounds like it's a 1+1=5 situation here.
Yeah, and they're getting very excited by the return. Obviously, for them, this is all, you know, commission, and this is all like an easier way to get to their quota. So we definitely gonna start working immediately on the next batch. And what we want to do eventually is we want to become more than batch-based. We want to become more trigger-based. So really use these packages as one touch that the SDR could trigger on their own. That we prepare the package and everything. We create all the automation. But the SDR could just trigger, once they don't get any response after 6 or 7 emails, trigger a package that is already prepared by us. And it gets to the desk of the recipient as one of the touch. So the company we're using is PFL, and they're great at doing this type of. They've created this fantastic platform, and we're still in the testing mode. But that's where we want to go eventually.
Great, man. at the risk of, I don't want to criticize your SDRs, but it sounds like they've got it easy. I'd be an SDR for you.
We're probably going to, we might adjust our quota if it gets too easy. But, you know, so far it's a win-win situation, right? We're not trying to make their job hard. We're trying to get to the goal that we have in terms of pipeline creation, one way or the other, if it's SDR driven, marketing driven. But to me, there's no such thing in enterprise sales as a marketing source opportunity or a sales source opportunity. It's always a combination of the two. Like sales, enterprise sales is such a long sales cycle, long cycle, so many stakeholders involved that you can look at a funnel like it's a linear thing and pretend that, oh, it's 100% marketing source and you're closing, I don't know, United Airlines or Best Buy. Like those are very large companies that requires a combination of efforts from enterprise marketing and sales.
That's great. We all finally need to work together. And if we do, we can basically triple the results of our team.
Yeah. And I think since I'm very passionate about this component, I want to add one more thing. So it's very important how you incentivize your sales team. You don't want to create an implicit reason why they should push back to marketing and maybe say, no, that opportunity I created because I talked to them 6 months ago at a meeting and I was referred by another partner. Like all of that is all a waste of time and it doesn't align sales and marketing. You want them to, the sales team shouldn't care where the opportunity came from, if it was touched by marketing, if it was only sales. They're not compensated because they source opportunity, the SDRs are. But what we want to do, we want to align the SDR team and marketing and then the SDR and the sales team so they don't have that conflict of pushing back to each other, but they all, you know, they don't care if it's a marketing source. They just care, oh, give me more of those. I don't care where it came from. I just want more of these opportunities. And then their goal is to close them.
Gotcha. So they're, yeah, that having that omnidirectional rep almost sitting right in the middle there.
Yeah. So you, that's why I love that here our SDR team are not incentivized differently between outbound and inbound. Obviously, inbound is much easier. Is that that's clear, but that's not the point. So it's not, you don't want to put their goal and their compensation based on what, how hard it is, but just based on what you want to get. So what are you incentivizing as a behavior? If you start giving them more money for an outbound opportunity, they're going to ignore all the inbound leads that are coming through, which are warmer, easier to close, much more engaged, and they should have priority over outbound, which are, you know, cold leads. Instead, if you create that kind of incentives, you might run that risk. And in which case you might as well have separate team inbound and outbound, so you don't want to create a conflict. But I strongly believe if you have one team, you don't care if it's inbound or outbound, compensate them in the same way, so they're gonna just want to pass opportunities, which at the end is the same for the company. It doesn't change. It's all good.
That's what we're working towards, right? It's just generating more meetings, more opportunities for our account execs.
Exactly.
Franco, this has been phenomenal. I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to hearing from the audience on what things, if you've implemented something that Franco taught us today, or if you've got something of your own that you've been trying that's working, we'd love to hear from you.
And thanks for calling. It was a pleasure to be here. As you know, it's not a secret. I've been a fan of predictable revenue for a few years now. You and I have worked together in previous companies. And you have me driving more meetings from your side. So always happy to come back on the podcast.
Love it. You know what? I think we might have to do that. Get you back in here in 6 months with an update on more of Franco's great SDR Mormon tactics.
Or I'll have a lot of updates in 6 months. We're going to test a lot of new things this quarter.
Excellent. So much data. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thanks again, Franco.
Thank you, Colin.
Okay. So welcome back. I realized that after the episode, I was asking Franco a bunch of other questions that I figured belonged in the episode. And you actually, you hit on something really interesting here. I was asking, do you guys do these in restaurants?
Yeah. So going back on the dinners, no, most of the time we don't do it in the restaurants because we're trying to do things differently. So we rely on, especially here in San Francisco, on two companies. One is called Feastly, one is called Eatwit. And what they do is they organize this private dinner in a very unique location. For example, the last dinner we did in San Francisco was in a garage on Mina Street. And it's a really cool settings. They put this long wooden table. There is a kitchen inside the garage. And so the chef and his or her team, they come to the location and they cook there and they present what they are cooking each course. The chef comes out and presents it to everyone, kind of like MasterChef style. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you have a good description of what is cooking. It's really, really high end. But is really private, so there is no one else in the location. Very quiet, so there is no noise in the background, and it makes it for such a unique setting. We do a kind of a cocktail at the beginning when people arrive, an aperitivo in the Italian style, and then once we sit down, we start asking the question and driving the conversation. And that makes it for such a unique experience, which again add on top of the value that people have for the networking.
Very cool. And so it was Feastly and Eat.
Correct. Those are the two we use, especially here in San Francisco. They also do it in other cities, but we try to be original on picking the location and the experience, because it's all about the experience at the end.
Thanks, Franco.
Awesome. No problem.